So we are continuing with our discussion on Sri Krishna's transcendental qualities. Specifically, in the last few days, we have been talking about the very special four qualities that Krishna has, which even Narayan doesn't have. We've discussed Leela Madhuri, Prema Madhuri, and Venu Madhuri. And today we are going to talk about Roop Madhuri. Srila Rupa Goswami has described it as Asaman Ordhva Rupa Shri Vismapita Characharaha. Saman means equal, Urdhva means greater. So Asaman Ordhva means that there is nothing that is equal to or greater than Rupa Shri, than the form and the opulences of Krishna. Visma Pita Characharam, which actually astonish the living and the non-moving and moving living entities. So Krishna's beauty bewilders everyone. It charms everyone. All living beings are charmed by the beauty of Krishna because by its very nature, its very essence, it is very, very attractive. I think we can reduce the volume a little. Krishna is called all attractive because he has all opulences. And beauty is one of those opulences. In fact, perhaps we could say that beauty is the chief opulence of Krishna. It is his most attractive feature. And it is this beauty that even drives the playing of his flute. And we will make a brief mention of that as we move ahead today. It is only because of Krishna's own Maya Shakti that living entities do not become attracted here in this material world to Krishna's beautiful form. Nothing else but Krishna's illusory energy can prevent someone from becoming attracted to Krishna's spiritual form. Even when Krishna is standing in front of us, personally present here, it may be that we are not going to be attracted to him. Just like Duryodhan, Shishupal, Jarasandha, and many other people of demoniac propensities did not get attracted to Krishna, although they saw him face to face on many occasions. In other words, to appreciate Krishna's beauty and to be attracted from Krishna's beauty, we have to become free from the covering veil of the illusory energy. And for that, we are completely dependent on the mercy of Krishna. Srila Rupa Goswami has mentioned in the Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu that it is only when Krishna's causeless mercy appears in the heart of a devotee that he or she can actually become attracted to the beauty of Krishna. In Vrindavan, all the living entities are completely pure. When Krishna was here, what to speak of the gopas and gopis, the cows, the animals, the birds, the trees, the plants, the creepers, everyone was attracted to Krishna's beauty. In his teachings to Sanatan Goswami in the Chaitanya Charitamrita, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu has spoken a lot about Krishna's sweetness and his beauty. He has explained, and we have seen this in one of the earlier lectures, of how Krishna descends in this material world into the Bhauma Vrindavan the Vrindavan which is manifest on this earth planet, in his original spiritual form, which is very human-like. And the pastimes that he performs here are therefore the most charming. And he assumes a form that is just suitable for performing these different pastimes. In the Bhagavatam it is said that even Krishna becomes wonderstruck to see his own form. In fact, when Srila Rupa Goswami mentions Rupa Madhurya in the Bhakti Rasamrit Sindhu, in one of the explanatory verses, he mentions, he composes a verse which mentions that one time when Sri Krishna was looking into the jeweled foreground and he saw his own reflection, he was completely astonished and he started thinking, what is this extraordinarily beautiful form that is full of sweetness that I see in front of me? Is it me? What is this? It is so attractive that I feel like embracing it. So Krishna becomes captivated even to understand how beautiful his own form is. Srila Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur says that this also happens when Krishna sees himself or sees his reflection in a polished stone on Govardhan Hill, or sometimes in a bejeweled pillar. Vrindavan was also full of all these opulences, jewels and pearls and precious stones, apart from milk and honey and grains and everything else. So this is the nature of Krishna's beauty. And Mahaprabhu has explained that because his pastimes is a human, just like a human being, are so human-like, this appears so ordinary, they become even more sweet. Mahaprabhu says that the transcendental form of Krishna is shown to the world by Krishna's internal energy, and it is the most confidential treasure of the devotees, and it is manifested from Krishna's eternal pastimes. Mahaprabhu says that the wonderful form of Krishna in his personal feature is so great that it attracts even Krishna to taste his own association. Indeed, Krishna becomes very eager to taste it. Total beauty, knowledge, wealth, strength, fame, and renunciation are the six opulences of Krishna, and he is situated in his opulence. Mahaprabhu goes on to explain that Krishna's form is Bhushanera Bhushana Anga. It is the ornament of ornaments. Normally we wear ornaments to beautify the body, but Krishna's body is so beautiful that it beautifies the ornaments themselves. And he stands in his most charming posture in his threefold bending form. At which three places is Krishna bent? At the neck. Second, at the waist. And third, at the knees. So when we talk about Krishna's threefold bending form, we know that Krishna is bent at the neck, at the waist, and also at the knee. Sorry, it's the age of mobile phones. In the Brahma Samhita, Lord Brahma has described Alola Chandra Kala Satvan Malivanshi Ratnangadam Pranayakeli Kala Vilasham Shyamam Tribhanga Lalitam Niyata Prakasham Govindamadi Purusham Tamaham Bhajami. I offer my respectful obeisances unto that Govinda, that Sri Krishna, who is Shyam Sundar, His form is eternally manifest, niyata prakasham. Prakash means to manifest, niyata means eternally. He is eternally manifest as Shyam Sundar, who is Tribhanga, bent in three places. And what does he look like? Alola Chandraka Lasan Lasat Vanamalya. He wears a flower garland that is swinging and that is adorned with the moon locket. Vanshi, he also has hands which are very beautiful and with adorned with a flute and also with jeweled ornaments. Ratnangadam Lasat. Pranayakeli Kala Vilasam. And he is always reveling in pastimes of love. This is Sri Krishna. Another verse that's there in the Brahma Samhita, which we chant every morning. We can please distribute these sheets. Is Venum Kwanantam Aravinda Dalayataksham. It's one of the most sweet verses of the Brahma Samhita. Because it describes the beauty of Krishna. So in this sheet, this is the last verse. So today we'll begin with the last verse instead of the first one. So let's begin with a description of Krishna's beauty. Every day in the morning at Sringar Darshan, at the greeting of the deities, we chant this. Venum Kwanantam Aravinda Dalayataksham. Barhavatam Samasitam Buddha Sundarangam. Kandarpa koti kamaniya vishesha shobham. Govindamadi purusham tamaham bhajami. Please chant, each time different devotees. Venum Kwanantam Aravinda Dalayataksham. Varhavatam Samasitam Buddha Sundarangam. Kandarpa Koti Kamaniya Vishesha Shobham. Govindamadi purusham tamaham bhajami. Venum Kwanantam Aravinda Dalayataksham. Bhavatam Samasitam Buddha Sundarangam. Kandarpa koti kamaniya vishesha shobham. Govindamadi purusham tamaham bhajami. Ladies, please. Kwanantam Aravinda Dalayataksham. Varhavatam Samasitam Buddha Sundarangam. Pakoti Kamaniya Vishesha Shobham. Govindamadi Purusham Tamaham Bhajami. I worship Govinda, the primeval Lord, who is adept in playing on his flute, with blooming eyes like lotus petals, with head bedecked with peacock's feather, with the beauty, with the figure of beauty tinged with the hue of blue clouds, and his unique loveliness charming millions of cupids. Venum Kwanantam, that means playing the flute. Aravinda Dala Ayata Aksham. Aksha means the ears. Ayata means blooming. And Aravinda is lotus, Dala means petal. So whose Aksha eyes are blooming, Ayata, like Aravinda Dala, like the petal of a lotus flower. Barha Avatamsam. Barha is a peacock feather. Avatamsam means a decoration for the head. So in his hair you find the peacock feather. Asita Ambuda Sundarangam. Ambu means water. Da means that which gives. So Ambuda is a name for a cloud. Asita means bluish or darkish. So it's a slightly darkish, bluish cloud. So Krishna's complexion is like that of a fresh monsoon cloud. And Sundarangam, it's a very, very beautiful form. In the prayers of Jayadev Goswami also he says the similar thing, that Krishna's form, Krishna's complexion is like that of a fresh monsoon cloud which is newly formed. Kandarpa koti kamaniya vishesha shobham. The unique loveliness charms even millions, koti, kamadevs or cupids, kandarpa. I offer my obeisances unto that primeval lord, Lord Govinda. Krishna attracts, Mahaprabhu says, not only the living entities in Vrindavan, that is of course particularly so, but he also attracts the demigods. He attracts all the living entities in this universe. He even attracts all his expansions who are situated in the spiritual world. All the Narayans, all the Vishnus, the Trivikrama, Upendra, Janardhan, etc. All these expansions of Krishna, even Mahavishnu, Garbhodakashaya Vishnu, Kshirodakashaya Vishnu, all are attracted. They want to see Krishna. Even Narayan's consort, Lakshmi Devi, all the Lakshmis are also attracted. We see from Vrindavan Leela that when Krishna left the site of the Rasa Leela and disappeared, the gopis, becoming very morose, began to search for him. They came upon Narayan. Actually, that was Krishna who had assumed a four-armed form just to trick them. The gopis came there, and when they saw Narayan, they immediately offered their respectful obeisances. They folded their hands. But they were more interested in looking for Krishna. And they said, "My dear Lord Narayan, please tell us which way has Krishna gone." The gopis are not so much attracted to the Lord's form as Narayan. They're attracted to Krishna in his form as a cowherd boy in Vrindavan. But Lakshmi Devi, all the Lakshmis of Vaikuntha are attracted more to Krishna's unique lovely form in Vrindavan. So Krishna attracts everything and everyone, even to the extent of his expansions. Mahaprabhu further goes on to say, Madhurya Bhagavatasara. That Madhurya or sweetness is the sar or the essence of the Bhagavata or the Godheadness, so to speak, of Krishna. The very essence of Krishna's existence is sweetness. And nowhere is such sweetness more manifest than in his beauty. So Shukadev Goswami has described it elaborately in the Srimad Bhagavatam. And Mahaprabhu also relishes such descriptions. And he goes on speaking about Krishna's sweetness and Krishna's beauty to Sanatana Goswami. And then he halts and stops himself and he says, My dear Sanatan, I don't know, I've been rambling like a madman. But what to do? I'm just tasting the sweetness of Krishna's beauty, and that makes me go on speaking like this. And then he quotes one verse, which is the first verse in our sheet now, which was spoken by the ladies of Mathura when they saw Krishna in the wrestling arena. It's a description of how beautiful Krishna looks. This is from the 10th canto, 44th chapter, the 14th verse. So let's chant. Now please preserve the sheet of paper, because these verses are all choice verses, very important, significant verses about Krishna's beauty, chosen from the scriptures and quoted by the acharyas, especially by Srila Prabhupada. And in Chaitanya Charitamrita, Mahaprabhu has quoted all these verses. So this is something that will come in good stead for our whole life. Just a few verses, just only 7 or 8. There are many more, but I have only chosen a few of the more important ones. Gopyastapah kimacharan yadamushya rupam. Lavanya sarama samurdhvam ananya siddham. Dribbhih pibantyana savar nibhinavam durapam. Ekanta dhama yashasah shriya aishvarasya. Gopyastapah kimacharan yadamushya rupam. Lavanya sarama samurdhvam ananya siddham. Drigbhih pibanti anusavabhinavam durapam. Ekanta dhama yashasah shriya aishvarasya. Please chant. Gopyastapah kimacharan yadamushya rupam. Dhamma yashasah shriya aishvarasya. Ladies, please. Gopyastapah kimacharan yadamushya rupam. Lavanya sarama samordhvam ananya siddham. Drigbhih pibantyanusavabhinavam durapam. Ekanta dhama yashasah shriya aishvarasya. Srila Prabhupada's translation. What austerities must the gopis have performed? With their eyes they always drink the nectar of Lord Krishna's form, which is the essence of loveliness and is not to be equaled or surpassed. That loveliness is the only abode of beauty, fame, and opulence. It is self-perfect, ever fresh, and extremely rare. Gopyaha tapah kim acharan. What kind of tapaha, what kind of austerities, acharan, these gopyaha, these gopis must have done? That yad amushya rupam, that they are always able to drink the nectar of this most beautiful form of Krishna, which has no parallel. Again, the word asamordhvan comes here, which is lavanya saram. The word sar means essence, and lavanya means loveliness. So Krishna's form is the essence of all beauty. Ananya Siddham, there is nothing that is more perfect than that. It is the only object or the abode of beauty, fame and opulence. Ekanta Dhamma, Yash, Shri, Aishwarya. Of these three things. Drik Bhihi Pibanti. They are drinking with their eyes the beautiful form of Krishna. Anusava Abhinavam Durapam. Abhinava means just newly formed. So they're drinking the nectar of Krishna's form with their eyes. And the gopis are seeing this all the time. So the ladies in Mathura are wondering what these gopis must have done in their previous lives or in this life perhaps. What austerities, what pious activities must they have done to merit such a great fortune that they are able to behold Krishna's beauty all the time. Mahaprabhu goes on. These teachings to Sanatan Goswami are so deep and so wonderful, every devotee must read it. It starts from the very basic philosophy and goes on explaining higher and higher truths. After Mahaprabhu has established that Krishna is the Supreme Personality of Godhead, he speaks about Krishna's opulences, his sweetness, his beauty. He explains such theological conclusions that the rest of the world cannot dream about it. The way in which the Lord expands himself, the different categories of expansions, and how they differ, how they are similar. In such depth and detail, it is completely mind-boggling. That is why when we read Chaitanya Charitamrita and Srila Prabhupada's purports here, then Krishna consciousness again comes alive. And Mahaprabhu goes on to speak this verse in his own words. He goes on elaborating on that. And he gives evidence. Why is it that the good fortune of the gopis is being spoken about so much? Even Lakshmi Devi is hankering for this fortune and she doesn't get it. But these ordinary village girls in Vrindavan have this good fortune. So just imagine what kind of austerities these ladies must have performed. And then again, Mahaprabhu says, in Vrindavan, because they all like to see Krishna's beauty again and again all day long, somehow they don't like the way their eyes have been made because the eyes keep blinking. And when they blink, it obstructs the vision of Krishna for even that fraction of a moment. And that's such a waste. So the Brajabasis say, actually, the Creator doesn't know how to create. If He were to take our good advice, He would have made our two eyes in such a way that we could have seen Krishna all the time. Actually, if He were more intelligent, He would have given us thousands of eyes. But He has given us only two. And even those two eyes blink. These eyes, which are supposed to behold Krishna's beauty all the time, now cannot do so. So we can understand that the Creator of this world, with due respect to Him, is not very efficient. He doesn't know His job very well. He is not competent. And then they chant, and Mahaprabhu quotes this particular verse, which is there in the 9th canto, which Shukadev Goswami speaks to Parikshit Maharaj. It's also a very beautiful verse.
Yasyananam makara kundala charu karna Prajat kapola subhagam savilasahasam Nityotsavam natatripur drishubhih pibantyo Naryo narascha muditah kupita nimescha Yasyananam makara kundala charu karna
Rajat Kapola Subhagam Savilasahasam. Nityotsavam Natatripur Drishibhipi Bantyo. Naryo Narascha Mudita Kupita Nimescha. Please chant. Yasyananam makara kundala charu karna. Rajat kapola subhagam savilasahasam. Drishbhe pibantyo. Narasya muditah kupita nimescha. Ladies. Yasyananam makara kundala charu karna. Kapola subhagam savilasahasam. Nityotsavam natatripur drishbhipi bantyo. Naryo narascha muditah kupita nimescha. Srila Prabhupada's translation. Krishna's face is decorated with ornaments such as earrings resembling sharks. His ears are beautiful, his cheeks brilliant, and his smiling attractive to everyone. Whoever sees Lord Krishna sees a festival. His face and body are fully satisfying for everyone to see. But the devotees are angry at the Creator for the disturbance caused by the momentary blinking of their eyes. Yasya, of him, Anana means the face, Makara Kundala, Charu Karna. Makara is a shark, Kundal means earring. Krishna has earrings which are shaped like sharks. Karna means ears, Charu means beautiful. So he has also very beautiful ears. Bhrajat Kapola, Subhagam, Savilasahasam. His kapol or his cheeks are very bright, they're shining and beautiful. Savilasahasam, he has an attractive smile, and we'll see more about Krishna's smile as we go on. And very significantly, Shukadev Goswami says here, Nityotsavam. To look at Krishna is a Nitya Utsava. Nitya means daily, perpetual. Utsava means a festival. So the residents of Vrindavan had a daily festival because they were seeing Krishna's beautiful form every day. So also, by Srila Prabhupada's mercy, all devotees in ISKCON, especially those who are here in Vrindavan, are also able to have a daily festival. Every day we go and take darshan of the deities, the beautiful form of the deities. The same Krishna, Shyamam Tribhanga Lalitam Niyata Prakasham, is eternally manifest here also in Krishna Balaram Mandir, besides Balaram and besides Srimati Radharani. So although we have festivals like Janmashtami, Radhashtami, which are occasions for special festivity, nevertheless, every day is an occasion of festivity for devotees, because every day we go and see the beautiful forms of the Lord, the beautiful decorations, the beautiful outfits, the beautiful lotus face, the beautiful chanting of the holy name, the association of all the devotees. So what more does one want in life? A daily festival. Human beings like festivals. Utsava manava priyaha. There is a saying that humans like festivals. So when the festivals are not centered around appreciating Krishna's form, names, beauty, pastimes, glories, etc., then these festivals will become mundane. Because people need to have something, they have just anything. One devotee was mentioning to me that in Singapore, the government declares one public holiday in a year when all the citizens come down onto the streets and dance. Anyone from Singapore here? And especially the young people, they just come on the road and they blare loud music. That's one day they can let their hair down and do whatever they like. Because the Singapore government is very strict about everything. They don't allow ISKCON devotees to go in even. So they're very, very cautious. But it's one day they allow them to go and just do anything in the streets. So everyone wants a festival, but because they don't know how to have a festival, so they just let them go in the streets and dance and just waste their time and energy and just perform sinful activities. But for devotees, Srila Prabhupada has arranged a daily festival. And even if you're not staying very close to a temple, it doesn't matter. We can have deities in our house, we can have pictures in our house. And even when we hear about Krishna, we read the Bhagavad Gita and the Srimad Bhagavatam, we chant the holy names, we are having a festival. So Shukadev Goswami tells Parikshit Maharaj that Krishna is an eternal festival, is a personified festival, Nitya Utsavam, Na Tatripur Drishabhihi Pibantyo. And his face is so beautiful that the devotees are never really satisfied. Na tatripur, drishibhihi. They want to see him more and more and more. But somehow, they are distracted or frustrated in their attempts to see Krishna constantly because of the blinking of the eyelids. And therefore, all the ladies and the men, Naryo and Naraha. So all the ladies and men, although they're very happy because they're seeing Krishna, muditaha, kupita nimescha, but they become angry at the creator of the eyelids because the eyelids blink. That kind of eagerness, perhaps we may not have, that kind of mentality, that thirst for seeing Krishna, we may not have, but at least we can follow in the footsteps of these Brajabasis by utilizing every moment of our time very nicely. One of the symptoms of bhava bhakti is avyartha kalatvam, that one never wastes time. One never spends, a real devotee never spends time in idle gossip or in something that is not beneficial for one's advancement in Krishna consciousness. So at least, drawing inspiration from the Brajabasis, devotees must utilize every moment of their time in Krishna's service. This is also Srila Rupa Goswami's instruction in the Nectar of Instruction, where he says that 24 hours must be utilized in hearing about the name, fame, form, pastimes, etc. of the Supreme Lord. Tannama Rupa Charitadi Sukirtananu Smrityo Kramena Rasana Manasi Niyojya. So in this way, one must gradually engage one's tongue, one's mind, one's ears in hearing about Krishna's form, character, pastimes and so on. This should be the main occupation of the devotees. And everything else is also important, no doubt. But that follows. But this is by far the most important activity. Mahaprabhu then goes on to explain that in the same way, the gopis of Vrindavan also cursed Brahma in the same way. Of course, one shouldn't take this seriously in the sense that Brahma is, of course, an exalted soul. But the gopis are speaking out of their sense of eagerness for wanting to see Krishna. The particular shloka that we just chanted now was spoken by Shukadev Goswami to Parikshit Maharaj. And now, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu quotes another verse spoken in similar fashion by the gopis amongst themselves. And this is also another famous verse which appears in the Gopi Geet. We chanted this verse a couple of days ago, but because it's relevant here, we'll chant it again. This is also a very, very beautiful verse.
Atati yad bhavan ahani kananam. Truti yugayate tvam apashyatam. Kotila kuntalam shri mukham chate. Jada udikshatam pakshma kridrisham. Atati yad bhavan ahani kananam. Truti yugayate tvam apashyatam. Kutila kuntalam shri mukham chate. Jada udikshatam pakshma kridrisham.
Please chant. Yugayate pashyatam.
Kutila kuntalam shri mukham chate. Jada udikshatam pakshma kridrisham.
Matajis, anyone? Other Prabhus, anyone?
Atati yad bhavan ahani kananam. Truti yugayate tvam apashyatam. Kutila kuntalam shri mukham chate. Jada udikshatam pakshma kridrisham.
Srila Prabhupada's translation. When you go off to the forest during the day, a tiny fraction of a second becomes like a millennium for us because we cannot see you. And even when we can eagerly look upon your beautiful face, so lovely with its adornment of curly locks, our pleasure is hindered by our eyelids, which were fashioned by the foolish Creator. Mahaprabhu goes on to say that Krishna's face is like a moon. In fact, it's the king of all moons. And his form, his body, is like a throne. So it's as if the king of all moons is seated on the throne of his body. And Mahaprabhu compares Krishna's beauty and his face is, and his whole form to 24 and a half moons. Has anyone read the teachings of Sanatana Goswami, and does anyone remember what these 24 and a half moons are? Krishna's form is like 24 and a half moons. How is that? We've already talked about one moon. That is Krishna's face. That is the king of all moons. What are the other moons? Does anyone know? It's easy. His two cheeks are like two moons. Then there is a sandalwood dot, Chandan Bindu, on his forehead, which is another dot, which is another moon, a full moon. So that is four. And then his forehead is considered half a moon. So that's four and a half. Then his fingernails, with which he then, which adorn his flute when he plays his flute. And then there are the 10 toenails with which he dances on the floor, on the ground. So that's 24 and a half moons. So Krishna's beautiful form is compared by Mahaprabhu to 24 and a half moons. And he also compares it to the 24 and a half syllables of the Kama Gayatri Mantra. And there's a beautiful pastime which we'll not discuss today, connecting, related to Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur, who couldn't understand how the Kama Gayatri Mantra consists of 24 and a half. What is this half syllable? He couldn't understand. He tried to look in many literatures, but he couldn't find the answer. Finally, it was Srimati Radharani who revealed the right answer to him and restored the full confidence of Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur in Krishnadas Kaviraj Goswami's words. In this way, Mahaprabhu has very, very nicely explained the sweetness of Krishna's personality. And then he says, even when you talk of Krishna's sweet beauty, there is still a gradation. The transcendental body of Krishna is very sweet, no doubt. But the face of Krishna is even sweeter. And even in the face of Krishna, Krishna's smile is even more sweeter. So then Mahaprabhu goes on to describe Krishna's sweet smile. Even the deities, you will never see Krishna grim. Krishna is always looking, he has a soft smile. And that soft smile is his most attractive feature. When Krishna transfers the essence of his loveliness, which is in that soft smile, through his lips into the flute, then that flute sound which comes out actually is nothing but the transformed beauty of Krishna. So the nectar of Krishna's beauty, the sweetness of Krishna's beauty, is filled in by his lotus lips into the holes of the flute. And then it streams out like nectar as a sound vibration. And thus it is that everyone in all of creation, spiritual and material, become completely captivated by the sound of Krishna's flute. So Mahaprabhu further explains. Let's chant the glories of Krishna's famous smile.
Krishnanga lavanyapura madhur hoite sumadhura tate jai mukha sudhakara. Madhur hoite sumadhura taha hoite sumadhura tara jai smita jyotsna bhara.
Krishnanga lavanya pura madhur hoite sumadhura tate jai mukha sudhakara. Madhur hoite sumadhura taha hoite sumadhura tar jai smita jyotsna bhara. Please chant. Krishnanga lavanya pura madhur haite sumadhura tate jai mukha sudhakara. Madhur haite sumadhura taha haite sumadhura tara jai smita jyotsna bhara. Anyone else? Krishnanga lavanya pura madhur hoite sumadhura tate jai mukha sudhakara. Madhur hoite sumadhura jaha hoite sumadhura tar jai smita jyotsna bhara. Ladies, Krishnanga lavanya pura madhur hoite sumadhura tate jai mukha sudhakara. Madhur hoite sumadhura taha hoite sumadhura tar jai smita jyotsna bhara. Prabhupada's translation: Krishna's body is a city of attractive features, and it is sweeter than sweet. His face, which is like the moon, is sweeter still. And the supremely sweet, gentle smile on that moon-like face is like rays of moonshine. Krishnanga, Krishna Anga, the body of Krishna, is Lavanya Pura. Pura means city, just like we have Dwarka Puri, Jagannath Puri. So sometimes it's Pura, sometimes Puri. So Pura means city or town. And Lavanya, as we have seen in the earlier verses, is loveliness or beauty. So Krishna's body is a city of attractive features. It's a very poetic way of expressing it. Madhura hoite sumadhura. It's even sweeter than sweet. Tate jai mukha sudhakara. Sudhakar means that which gives nectar. That's the moon. So Krishna's face is like the moon, is even sweeter than Krishna's overall body. Madhur hoite sumadhura taha hoite sumadhura. And even supremely sweeter than that is smita, Krishna's sweet, gentle smile. It is like the rays of moonshine, jyotsna bhara. Jyotsna means the moonshine. So here Mahaprabhu has graded Krishna's beauty. Overall, Krishna's form is beautiful, is very sweet. But sweeter than that is Krishna's face. Sweeter than Krishna's face is Krishna's smile, which is like the rays of the moonshine, which simply shower nectar. So these descriptions are just sheer poetry. Mahaprabhu is himself coming forth with these streams of nectar, glorifying Krishna and his beauty. Srila Prabhupada has quoted this one verse, Meram Bhangi, which we'll chant now very often. And he has even quoted it in very preliminary books like The Science of Self-Realization. He quotes this Meram Bhangi verse where one gopi is telling another gopi that be careful, don't you go there to the banks of the Yamuna where there is one person called Govinda who is standing there playing his flute. He is very attractive. So if you're attached to your family and friends, beware, don't go there. So the acharyas have explained that this is actually praise appearing like condemnation. The gopis seem to be condemning Krishna. Don't you go there. It's not worth going there. If you have, the fact that they say, if you have any attachment for your family and friends, then don't go. So they're apparently praising family attachment and decrying Krishna. And they're trying to dissuade the other gopis from going to Krishna. But the acharyas explain that this is a literary ornament in which actually what is intended is opposite to what is actually literally conveyed. So the gopis are actually encouraging each other, just go to see Krishna there. And once you have seen Krishna's beauty, then you'll forget about everything in this world. There'll be no other attachment. There was a story also of, it reminds me of one of the followers of Ramanujacharya. I'll recite that, I'll tell that story briefly before we come to this verse. When Ramanujacharya was in the bank of the sea, he was walking with his disciples after having taken bath, and he saw one man carrying an umbrella following a beautiful lady. And as she was going on, and he was going behind her with the umbrella, and everybody was around laughing and ridiculing this man, making jokes at him, because wherever she went, he'd be there to just hold an umbrella, pick up anything she needed, and so on. He was completely enamored by her beauty. She was actually a very beautiful lady. Ramanuja saw this man and he felt great pity. He said, here is a person who is being ridiculed openly by everyone on the street, but he doesn't just notice because he's so captivated by the beauty of the lady that he is with, that he's just not able to understand anything. So then he went up to this lady, to this man, and he said, my dear friend, don't you see that everybody is making fun of you, and you're going around carrying this umbrella over this lady? So then the man said, what can I do? She is the perfection of beauty. There is nothing absolutely more beautiful than this lady. So I'm completely captivated at heart by this lady. So what can I do? So he said, really? He said, yes. He said, just look at her eyes. And the man started talking about this lady's eyes. And then Ramanujacharya said, if I show you something more beautiful, a more beautiful pair of eyes, then will you give up this beauty and go for that beauty? He said, impossible. There can be nothing more beautiful than this pair of eyes. He says, all right, come, I'll take you. So then Ramanujacharya took this person to the temple of Lord Ranganath, Sri Rangam. And right there, this is the biggest deity of the Lord actually, one of the largest deities in the world. So the Lord was reclining. And Ramanujacharya took him, and just at that time the darshan opened. And the priest, he brought the lamp to the Lord's lotus face. In those days we didn't have all these electric lamps shining on the body of the Lord to give darshan. So darshan used to be possible only when the sunlight would come in somehow, or with a lamp that was being offered to the deity. So when the lamp was shining in the deity's face, Ramanujacharya said, behold, just see these beautiful eyes. And because a pure devotee like Ramanujacharya desired it, then his mercy came on this man. And then he became completely attracted to the beauty of the Lord. And even his wife or his mistress, she also became attracted. And the two of them got married and they became very staunch followers and disciples of Ramanujacharya. So Ramanujacharya attracted them by directing them to the beauty of the Lord. And Krishna in Vrindavan is even more beautiful. So we can imagine that if someone is attracted to the beauty of Krishna, then there is no more attraction left for any of the beauty of this world. In fact, the beauty of this world is simply a perverted reflection of the beauty of Krishna. In fact, Srila Prabhupada mentioned that one time. When you see the beauty of nature, even the beauty of nature is in the mode of goodness. When you see the green pastures and the hills, and it's certainly very soothing and calming to the mind. But still, one shouldn't get so captivated by that that one forgets Krishna. Because ultimately, even this is a perverted reflection of the beauty of Goloka Vrindavan, of Krishna's own personal beauty. So every deity of Krishna or of Vishnu will always have a soft smile. It is a smile of mercy which the Lord gives to His devotees. And the gopis are telling one another that that smile, please be careful. It's like an arrow that will pierce your heart and then you will be captured forever. So let's chant that famous verse which Srila Prabhupada quoted many times. This is from the Madhya Leela, chapter 5, text 224.
Smeram bhangi traya parichitam sachi vistirna drishtim. Vanshinyastadhara kishalayam ujvalam chandrakena. Govindakhyam haritanum mitah keshitirthopakanthe. Ma prekshishthastava yadi sakhe bandhu sange stirangah. Smeram bhangi traya parachitam sachi vistirna drishtim. Vanshinyastadhar kishalayam ujvalam chandrakena. Govindakhyam haritanum itah keshitirthopakanthe. Ma prekshishthastava yadi sakhe bandhu sange stirangah. Smeram bhangi traya parichitam sachi vistirna drishtim. Vanshinyastadhara kishalayam ujvalam chandrakena. Dakhyam haritanum mitah keshitirthopakanthe. Ma prekshishthastava yadi sakhe bandhu sange stirangah. Smeram bhangi traya parichitam sachi vistirna drishtim. Vanshinyastadhara kishalayam ujvalam chandrakena.
गोविंदाख्याम हरितनुमितः केशितीर्थोपकंठे। मा प्रेक्षिष्ठास्तव यदि सखे बंधु संगे स्थिरंगः। माताजी एनीवन? स्मेराम भंगी त्रय परिचिताम साच विस्तीर्ण दृष्टि। वंशे न्यस्ता धर किशलयाम उज्ज्वलाम चंद्रकेण। गोविंदाख्याम हरितनुमितः केशितीर्थोपकंठे। मा प्रेक्षिष्ठास्तव यदि सखे बंधु संगे स्थिरंगः। Translation: My dear friend, if you are indeed attached to your worldly friends, do not look at the smiling face of Lord Govinda as he stands on the bank of the Yamuna at Keshi Ghat. Casting sidelong glances, he places his flute to his lips, which seem like newly blossomed twigs. His transcendental body, bending in three places, appears very bright in the moonlight. So this is a brief explanation of how Krishna's threefold bending form, his flute playing, his soft smile, his sidelong glance, his beautiful features all work to steal the hearts of all the devotees, of all the residents of Vrindavan. In doing our sadhana, we can also pray to the Lord that we can also one day be similarly attracted, just like the residents of Vrindavan have been attracted to Krishna. That is indeed the perfection of our life. Once we have attained that supreme attraction, nothing more left remains to be achieved in this world. We have achieved that which is most desirable, which is most sought after, even by Lakshmi Devi, even by the great demigods, and even by the expansions of the Lord in Vaikuntha. So we'll stop here, although we have another verse to go, but there is so much more to say about that and others, so some other time, some other occasion perhaps, but you have it on record that this particular verse, the fifth verse of the Venu Geet, 21st chapter, Varha Pidam Natavara Vapuh, is a very famous verse. It's considered to be one of the sweetest verses in the Bhagavatam, that also describes Krishna's beauty. So with this, we conclude our discussion on Krishna's qualities with Rup Madhuri. Hare Krishna. Are there any questions or comments in the few minutes that we have? Yes.
River.
But among the collection, Sarai. Sir, we are grateful to you for the nice discussion for last 7 days in seven type of qualities of Lord Krishna. But one thing I was thinking in my mind, that in this world, if there is one quality which every people aspires, that is memory power. And after this world, we want a placement in the kingdom of Lord Krishna. Regarding memory power, you see, it is an item which could have been accommodated among the 50 ordinary powers, because it is found in the Lord as well as human beings. You see, in the 700 verses in Gita, 600 have been uttered by Lord Krishna. That is also extempo and probably without any preparations. Similarly, similar power was obtained by the Bachak of Srimad Bhagavat, who could utter 18,000 verses extempo from his memory. Somehow or other, if we can acquire these properties, then our life will be most successful, both in this world and probably after that, which Narad got by becoming Jatishwar. He could know what he has done in the last life also. Can you throw some light regarding this power?
Memory power is not necessarily any indication of devotion at all. Devotion is something completely transcendental. Memory power, ordinarily speaking, has to do with the development of our gross and subtle bodies depending on our karmas. And ultimately, when we take to devotional service or even otherwise, it is Krishna who gives us memory and forgetfulness and knowledge. As he says in the Bhagavad Gita, Sarvasya chaham hridi sannivishtah mattah smritir jnanam apohanam cha. From me seated in the heart comes knowledge, remembrance and forgetfulness. So we are not so much concerned about developing memory power or any such thing. We are primarily concerned with developing our devotion to Lord Krishna. And if by Krishna's mercy somebody has a good memory power, he or she can use it for Krishna's service. But it's no loss if somebody doesn't have good memory power. It doesn't matter. As far as memory power and knowing everything, that is the 51st quality, which is there in Lord Shiva as well, Sarvajna. Sarvajna means all knowing. All knowing means past, present and future. So Shiva doesn't have it in completion, in perfection, but Krishna has it in perfection. This quality of Sarvajna and Nitya Nutanaha, ever fresh, ever youthful, is partly manifest in Shiva. So definitely Krishna also has the quality of perfect memory. And as we have discussed at the beginning of this series of lectures, that Krishna has innumerable qualities, countless. And Srila Rupa Goswami has only identified 64 prominent ones. We have not exhausted by any means the whole universe of qualities that Krishna possesses. Any other question? One last question? Okay, thank you. So we will stop here. Srila Prabhupada ki jai. Shri Vrindavan Dham ki jai. Gaur Premanande. Hari Hari.